are living in very interesting times. You know, as a church, I think we don't want to ignore the reality of the situation and what's happening around us. As a church, we don't want to break any rules that the government would mandate. Now, as you know, and most of you probably received the email that the announcement sent out. And, you know, we're here as a church, and we can still gather together because there's no moratorium on gatherings under 35 people. But here's the thing. We're not here just on a technicality, right? We're not here just because we have less than 35 people. And we want to follow the spirit of the law. The law that the government gives us, which is we want to protect ourselves, we want to protect each other, we want to keep ourselves safe, we want to keep others safe. If you notice the way we set up the chairs, we kept some distance between each other. You're supposed to be arm's length away from each other. Distance yourself, social distance yourself. Wash your hands, cover your coughs. Don't go places that's not necessary. I'm glad you caught Hamilton before it shut down, but like going forward, you know, maybe don't go to large gatherings like that, right? But and here's the thing, right? And things are getting a little hectic in our world now. And if you are the person in your household who's responsible for replenishing your fridge and pantry, you'll know that it's difficult finding food. Friends, you know, you're probably seeing this all over on social media. I have friends who are posting 8:15 a.m. at Trader Joe's, you know, 30-minute lines. There's food. You can find food if you go at 8:15. Come afternoon, there's nothing, right? And I understand. I understand that the situation is not easy. But I also hope that as Christians, as believers, that during this time we can really learn to find the peace of God. Right? Because look, the Bible tells us, Jesus says himself, "My peace I give unto you." It is a peace that the world cannot understand. And there's even a song written around, probably many songs written around that verse. And we say it and we sing it, but when life is going easily, that verse, it means something, but it also it doesn't quite reach the depth of what the verse can say. It is during these trying times when, as Christians, we can really understand what it means to have a peace that the world does not understand. I was at Costco. What day was it? Sometime earlier this week. Not to buy toilet paper, not to stock up on water or groceries. I was there because 2 weeks ago, I scheduled an appointment to go have my tires replaced because the tires on my minivan are kind of threadbare. And who knew? Who knew it was going to be like this, right? So I show up Thursday morning, 9 o'clock appointment, and I get to the front door. And, you know, if you've ever been to Costco at 9 o'clock when they raise the gates, it's really nice. You stand there and then the gates raise and you feel like, charge! I took Zoe there once when she was little, just for fun, to watch the gates open. But I was there and the gates were closed. And I got there and there's a crowd of people gathered with their carts already. And I figured, well, I'm here for a tire change, so I shouldn't really have to wait in line. And it doesn't look like there's a line. So I just kind of stood there. And the people were yelling at each other. People were cussing each other out. I was like, wow. What? And so apparently some people cut in line. And that's when I realized, oh, there is a line. So I looked, and there was a line that went all the way around to the back of the Costco building, out into the back parking lot. And I actually... It took longer to walk to the back of the line than it took to get into the building once they started processing the line, if you can imagine that. And so, yes, things are a little crazy now. It's not life as we knew it. But as Christians, I pray and I hope that we can really experience the peace that Jesus promised us. We don't need to panic. If you go to buy groceries, get in line with everyone else and wait. And if there's not much to buy, then buy what you can. We're not in a famine, right? Now, having said that, you know, going forward, if it comes a point where there is a full quarantine that is put in place by the government, if that happens, we fully intend to obey that. So as a church, we will be keeping an eye on what's happening. We will be monitoring what the government tells us to do, and we will obey that to the best of our ability. Right? We thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for fair weather and for foul weather. Right? In good times and bad, we learn to worship the Lord and to thank Him. And you know, some of us are working from home. Some of us are not working at all. Some of us have, in effect, paid vacation time. So it's kind of nice. So congratulations to you. But look, this is an interesting time, and I think we may find ourselves having more free time than we're used to having. And I would really encourage all of us to use this time well. Spend that time with your family that you normally wouldn't get to spend. Spend that time, most of all, pursuing the Lord. Because we're always saying, it's hard to spend time with Jesus because we're busy. Guess what? You're not as busy now. Right? So use that time well to pursue the Lord. And I think if you look at your bulletin, I think you'll see we were supposed to start with the book of Galatians this morning. But as we are experiencing, things are in flux, things are changing, and so we're not going to be looking at Galatians. A week ago, there was a realization that something big is happening. Well, probably even earlier than a week ago, some of us were already understanding. Something's happening in this world that's on a bigger scale than we've ever understood. And, you know, last week, I don't know if you noticed, at church, nobody was shaking hands, right? I think people were even reluctant to do fist bumps. It was now, what, elbow bumps and the foot shake? But as of last week, things were still kind of business as usual, I think. Yeah, at least in my mind. Okay, there's a little bit of panic. We're, you know, everywhere there's no toilet paper. But there's still some stability. But then within a span of a week, everything changed. Right? City of Sunnyvale, during the week, on Wednesday I think it was, they sent out a notice. They sent out a notice that they were canceling classes. They were canceling classes for senior citizens. And the Senior Citizens Center is now closed. And I guess they had a program where they had lunch to get provided for senior citizens. Now, there's no communal lunch, but you can go and pick up lunch. So things were starting to change. And they had a website set up. The City of Sunnyvale had a website set up where you can track what's happening. And I remember on Thursday, I checked again, right? Programs were canceled, classes were canceled, obviously, because you don't want to be bringing a lot of people together. But building rentals were still ongoing. Then Friday, I went and picked up the key. You know, I had the key. I was happy. All right, we're going to be able to meet at the park this week. And then Friday afternoon, I got an email saying that because of the mandate that's come down from the state, we are no longer allowing anybody to proceed with the building rentals. I contacted the city. I said, well, I have the key. And he said, you're not allowed to use it. And so we are obeying the law. I mean, technically, today, if we really wanted to, I could have said, let's all be in the building, because who's going to go check, right? But we want to be law-abiding citizens. And things are happening. Things are happening. Things are changing quick. And so what I want to say with that is, yeah, I was checking the website. And on Thursday, I said to myself, good. You know, we can still meet in the building. And just like that, in one afternoon, everything shifted, and all of a sudden we're trying to figure out, so how do we set up our house? How do we have a meeting? Should we even have a meeting? And there's all this stuff that's happening, and we're in flux, and here's the thing, almost in the blink of an eye, things are changing, and we're not in Kansas anymore, as a famous movie once put it, right? It's life as we know it. Life as we expect it to be, with certain comfort, with certain assurances, that's all gone out the window. Right? Well, we're living in different times now. Good luck finding a potato. You know, there's no more left. And I think, you know, when we look at this, when we look at things changing so rapidly, I think of a story from the Bible of a group of people who also had a very sudden, drastic change come into their lives. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember King Ahasuerus? We studied him and his story. It's actually not his story. It was a book of Esther. We studied the book of Esther sometime at the end of 2019, I think. And King Ahasuerus, he was the king of Persia. And he he had great reign. His reign extended over many empires at the time, right? The Empire of Persia was powerful. And there was a population of Jews who lived in Persia under the rule of King Ahasuerus. Now, do you remember his wife, Queen Vashti? Right, Queen Vashti, what happened? We're not going to go into all the stories, but we're going to real quick pick on some things, right? King Ahasuerus was, he threw a party because he wanted to show people how powerful he was, right? Come and see the greatness of my kingdom, my wealth. I'm going to feed you well. Everybody, come to my party. And the party was going on. All the royals and people were there. And he said to his people, go and fetch my queen. And the way he said that, you know, it made it sound like she was his property, which was already kind of not well. But he said, go and fetch my queen. And there are biblical scholars who believe the way he requested that she show up was that she show up without her clothing, because he wanted to show off her beauty. And so this is all kinds of wrong here. Queen Vashti said, no, thank you. She actually had her own little gathering, so she said, no, thank you. And so, boy, the life ever changed quickly for her, right? Because she said no to the king, so she lost her position as a queen. She was no longer the queen. And some believe she also lost her head. Because you don't say no to the king, right? So life for her turned upside down in the instant. Do you remember what happened to the Jews? Right? The king Ahasuerus, he had a right-hand man, Haman, who hated the Jews. He hated the fact that there were these foreigners living in the land of Persia. And Haman became very close with the king during his time. And he used his influence to petition to the king, let's get rid of the Jews. Let's kill them all. Let's kill all the Jews. It was genocide that was proposed. And so, for the Jews, in the blink of an eye, life as they knew it changed, right? If you remember the story, after the king agreed to this, an edict was sent out, a public declaration was sent out to all the lands, and this declaration was posted, and it basically said, on such and such a day, all the Jews will be executed. Imagine living in this land, and all of a sudden, one day you go out for your walk, or you go out to buy potatoes, whatever, and you see this notice posted that in a month's time, all the people of your ethnicity are going to be executed. I mean, talk about life changing in the blink of an eye. And all of a sudden, everything they come to know, all the assurances they had, all the safety, out the window, because life was coming to an end real quick. It's not about getting sick, it was just, there was a mass execution coming down the line, and there was a date there. They knew what was coming. For the Jews, imagine being a Jew living in Persia at that time. Imagine what that must have been like on that morning when the edict went out. Maybe you didn't see it first. Maybe you heard about it once the murmurs started going through the land. Right? The first person saw it, then they called, well, they didn't call it. Let's just imagine, they call their friend, hey, did you see this? Is this real? Is this a hoax? Is this fake news? And then all of a sudden that news starts to spread, and maybe you're one of the last people to hear it, but you wake up and all of a sudden, life as you know it is over. And they hadn't even done anything wrong. Right? They hadn't done anything to deserve this. And, you know, and then there was Esther. Remember, the main character in this whole account, in this whole book, was Esther. She was also a Jew. She happened, once Queen Vashti was deposed as queen, she happened to have caught the king's eye, and she was brought into the palace as a queen. So she was a Jew who was living in a protected status. In a sense, she didn't let on that she was a Jew. So she hid the fact that she was a Jew. She was living in safety. And so here's Esther. She's safe. Right? She's safe. She's living in the palace. And we're not going to go into the whole story, but what happened was Esther's uncle, Mordecai, he was a prominent figure in the Jewish community. He came to Esther and he told her, he asked her, please, all your people are going to be executed. We are all going to lose our lives. Can you talk to the king? Can you please go and talk to the king? And Esther's response was, I can't. if I go to the king without being summoned and he doesn't want to see me, he can kill me. The king has every right. And you talk about don't bother me, right? If I go to see the king and he hadn't summoned me, or he doesn't extend his scepter to me and say, come, I will be executed. And Mordecai said, Esther, I know that you want to live in safety. I know that you want to keep yourself safe. I know that as long as you don't bother the king, you think that maybe things will be okay, right? As long as I'm okay, as long as I'm safe in the palace. And that's probably part of what was going on in Esther's mind. But Mordecai said this. Mordecai challenged her. He said, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. Don't think for a second that you are safe. Don't think for a second that you are going to be exempt just because you are the queen. Look what happened to the last queen. Right? There's no assurances being in the palace. He says, don't think that what's happening to the rest of us, you're going to escape it simply because you are in the king's palace. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. So what is Mordecai saying here? You may think you're safe, and you may be tempted to say, as long as I stay safe, as long as I don't stir up any trouble, as long as I stay out of the king's sight, just lay low, I'll survive this. And Mordecai says, God's going to do his thing. He's going to bring salvation to his people. You're not going to escape. Right? And so Mordecai says, don't just assume. Don't just try to live in the shelter of life and think that you'll be fine. And as Christians, I think, when we come to the Word of God, this is one thing that I always stress. When we come to the Word of God, look, we can't just read this and then say, oh, cool story, bro. Right? You can't just look at it and say, yeah, that's nice. That happened 3,000-4,000 years ago. It doesn't apply to me. When we come to the Word of God must change us. It must speak to us, and it must draw us to action. So when we look at Esther this morning, look, as a church, as Christians, we have to model out what Christ calls us to. He calls us to action. We can't just say, as long as I am safe, as long as I am okay. And this is why, as a church, we are going to be very diligent in following what the government mandates for us as far as safety goes, as far as keeping everyone safe. Because look, like I said, there may come a time in the near future, we don't know, but there may come a time when the government is going to impose full quarantine, where we cannot gather together, not even in small groups. What are we going to do? Then everybody go online. All of you stay home, we've got a camera, we'll broadcast, we will be in full compliance, because as Christians, we should not just be focused on how do I keep myself safe, but we also have to think about how do we keep others safe. We have to think about other people. We have to. Esther was told, you can't just think about yourself, think about all the other people, right? We're all Esthers. We are all Esthers, and we all have an opportunity, especially during this time when everything's turning upside down, to take action and not just shelter in place and be safe. What do I mean by that? First of all, I think we need to pray. There definitely needs to be prayer for the nation, for people's health, not just the nation, for the whole earth. Right? This whatever this thing is that's going around, is not just here. It's spread. And we want to pray, and we will have a time to pray later, but we also have to be very careful not to have a very relaxed or cavalier attitude toward getting sick. Why do I say this? Because I'm sure most of you are keeping up with the news, right? That as this sickness, as this disease is going around, the main concern is for those who are elderly. Most of us in this room are not elderly. I mean, you might look at some of us and think we're elderly, but we're not in the dangerous age gap. Most, all of us. The thing that we have to be careful is that we don't look at that and say, well, as long as I'm not going to get very sick, then I don't need to be too careful. Right? We can't just be cavalier about the sickness going around. Look, we don't want to do anything to give other people worry. Right? We don't want to downplay what is happening in the world around us. We understand and we are sympathetic that all of us as humanity, we're all in this together. You know, I'm not just here to give a public service announcement about keeping clean. Yes, we should. We should wash our hands. 20 seconds, is it? How many of you, before all of this happened, were accustomed to washing your hands for 20 seconds? A few of you, right? But the majority of us is like, water, wet, good, I'm clean, right? And it's called to attention what we need to do to protect ourselves. But this is not just a public service announcement about how to stay clean. We need to care about people, right? You need to think about people. Look, a lot of you have the opportunity to not go to work, right? Those of you that are teachers, schools are closed. Tech companies are saying work from home. There are people who don't have that luxury. There are people who don't have that option. Doctors, physicians, nurses who are on the front line trying to deal with all of this, they can't just stay at home and you call them and then say, let's talk on the phone, let me walk you through what to do, walk into the clinic and in this drawer you'll find a needle and take there has to be people there to help those who are sick. And one of the things we have to do is we want to make sure that we don't become part of the problem of inundating the health system. And imagine if all of us are really lax about keeping the distance and all of us end up getting sick. And so now all of a sudden, everybody's in the emergency room or urgent care. We've now crowded out the space. And now somebody comes in and they have a heart issue and they need to see a doctor right away. Now there's no bed for them because guess what? There's a group of people who weren't careful about keeping themselves clean, about keeping themselves safe, and they're in there for something else that's not as life-threatening. Do you see what I'm saying? We need, as a body, as a church, as Christians, we really do need to think for others, right? We don't want people to look at the church and say, you know what? Those guys are just, they don't care. We don't want people to look at us and say, man, they just live life in the bubble, like nothing affects them. Yes, we have faith. Don't get me wrong. We have faith that God will protect us. But that same God who will protect us also expects us to exercise our wisdom and common sense. Do you not agree? And so we want to live out our faith as Christians in a responsible way, in a way that models to the community, we care. We do care about everyone's well-being. Right? As you look around, like I mentioned, our seating arrangement, everybody is a little farther away from each other. Does this mean that we're living in fear? Absolutely not. We are not living in fear, but we are living in prudence. We are exercising good sense. We are trusting in the Lord, and we believe and we trust that the Lord reigns. But, again, the Lord also expects us as Christians to act responsibly, to care about others. And it's not that there is no fear. I think it would be irresponsible of me to say, because we are Christians, because the Bible says fear not, then we don't need to fear and we can go out and do whatever we want. There is worry, and I understand that in our hearts, in some of our hearts, many of our hearts, there is an element of fear. We are worried. And when you look around, life is not the same as it was. But this is the chance for us to take that fear and bring it to the Lord and say, Jesus, help me with this. Jesus, help me to deal with the fear. Jesus, help me to live in a way that's not going to scare people, where I have an awareness of what's going on, but I am also not panicking like everyone else. This is prime time to really come to really deepen that relationship with Jesus. Right? The time for talking for our faith is over. This is the time to really live it and to exercise it. And look, maybe maybe in, I don't know how long this is going to last, you know. Quarantine is supposed to be for 2 weeks. Schools are closed for how long? Four weeks. There's now reports coming out saying that 4 weeks will do nothing, that if you really want to stop the spread, you got to close down schools and everything for 8 weeks. So I don't know how long this is going to last, but I think there's going to come a time when this is all going to end. Hopefully we pray that there's going to come a time when all of this has settled down, right? Vaccines have come out and people are getting better and we're resuming life as normal as possible. But when that time comes, it's very possible that there are going to be people who look at us and say, wow, you know, you guys were worried for nothing. But I also want to say that there are going to be people who look at us and say, wow, they cared. As a church, these people cared about others. They weren't just thinking about themselves. And so I want to encourage us in this time to really think for other people. I believe the Lord is speaking to me too, because I've always gone through life not worried about getting sick. But this isn't about me anymore. What happens if I get sick and I don't show the symptoms, and what happens if I'm carrying the illness and I come in contact with someone whose immune system is compromised? I have now become a danger to that person. We need to think not just for ourselves, like Esther was trying to do. We need to start thinking for other people. And here's the other thing I want to say before we end. You know, I think we are taking a lot of precautions, as we should, with this disease, this illness that's going around. Make no mistake, we need to be careful. We're taking a lot of precautions. We are doing everything we can to protect ourselves. Having said that, there is something a lot worse than what's going around that I think we don't take enough precautions against. Who wants to venture a guess what I'm going to say? Sin. Right? We take a lot of precautions to keep this disease at bay, to make sure that it doesn't enter our house, that it doesn't enter our social circles. But with matters of sin, and a lot of times it's little things that we don't notice, we're very lax about letting sin into our lives. And this is something that's really come to my mind and Alice's mind this past week, as we're looking around at people taking extreme measures to protect themselves physically. We come back to, well, what about spiritually? Right? It's so easy for us to let things that are spiritually harmful to us into our lives. And it's very easy for us to find an excuse, you know. Oh, you know, well, Paul said you got to live like a Jew to the Jews and be a Greek to the Greek. And, you know, I need to do these things so I understand the world. There are things that we need to draw boundaries on, right? If only we treated sin as seriously as you do this disease that is going around, I think the church would be in a much better shape. I think as Christians, we would all be in much better shape. I want to end with this. We don't know what's going to happen going forward. We're going to be keeping a watch on developments. We hope that we can still worship together, but we will see where things go. But at the core of it all, love one another. Care for other people. Care about what effect you would have on people. In the way that you live your life, in the decisions of what you're going to do in the weeks to come, think for other people and model that behavior that Christ would call us to. That we are called to be in the world but not of the world, but we need to care about this world and about people here. I want to end, before we have the Lord's Supper, I do want to end with a time of prayer, if that's okay with everyone. And we're at church. No one's going to say that's not okay. I would like to ask Jonathan to come up. And if we could sing I Love You, Lord, again. You know, when we sing this song, a lot of times we say, take joy, my King, in what you hear. When we say, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in the ear, what do you think of as a sweet, sweet sound? Worship. You think of singing, you think of praise. Because you're singing a song, and so you're thinking, I'm singing the song, may this be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear, Lord. Prayer is just the sweetest sound in the Lord's ear. So I would like us to sing the song. Jonathan, you decide how many times. And then after, if you could stay and remain playing, I would like us to have a time of prayer, open prayer, to come and pray for what's going on around us, pray for the Lord's mercy, pray for His protection. Thank you.